Nate Voss.
Donovan. We're doing a show.
Welcome back. This is episode number 65 of the Reflex Blue Show.
It's the Reflex Blue Show. We're going to talk about graphic design.
All right, and we'll start with what are you working on? That's what we start
Should
with.
Should we do now, it? Right? Should we? Let's take a moment. Let's slow it down. Let's do it jazz style. How you doing today?
Oh, hey, not too bad.
You just got back from Chicago. What were you doing up there?
Oh, you know, just visiting Meg and going to IKEA.
Seeing some people. Yeah. What'd you do with Meg? Remember Meg Reyes from season 2's Student Tips?
Pizza. And met the guy that runs the donutproject.com. Mm-hmm. Pretty fun blog.
We throw people over to if the Donut
want,
Project.
If you want a great great website to, you know, waste time on, because it will link you to a bunch of stuff, and it's like, you know, you'll just be there for a couple hours, like looking at reading through it.
Okay.
TheDonutProject.com.
I got an opening this afternoon. I might be able to fill with that. I feel pretty good about it. So you're back. I was here the whole time. It was crazy. Schwarzenegger was here. No, he wasn't. So we should do a show. Hey, Donovan.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, and it is just you and I today, if people can't tell. We usually, at this point, say, and hey, we want to welcome our special guest. No, it's just, we're just kicking it. We're doing an old school Reflex Blue Show. Just you and I.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm down with that. So, Donovan, what you been designing?
Well, I asked you, dude.
Oh, you didn't? Should we get, like, a little, like, music segment? You know, like, what you been designing? You know, like, have a little, like,
maybe
intro.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time. I need to talk about this, yeah.
All right. Because I like that we're having more music. We should definitely have. We should get the Roots. Or we should. Oh God!
I think they're booked.
We should get Max Weinstein. Anyway, he's not doing Conan anymore.
Yeah, he does. If he needs a gig, you know.
Yeah, if he's looking for it, we can get him. Podcast dollars are pretty big dollars, and I think that you know that. You know, this is like the first time where, you know, when we started doing. What have you been designing? I thought, you know, it's 2 weeks between every show. Surely we're going to have some pretty serious turnover. But right now I'm in this weird spot, Donovan, where I've wrapped up all my old projects. I wrapped up the thing that I was talking about last time.
Okay.
And I'm just in the middle of sending out a bunch more estimates for some new work. Some work with the same clients, some work for some new clients. I think I, you know, if I cross my fingers and squint real hard and make a face like this, I might just get a new illustration job this week, and I feel pretty good about that. It'd be a really fun one. I'm looking forward to it. But right now, I don't have, like, active client work for, like, this little sliver of time. So what I'm thinking about is, okay, you know, what else can I do for myself? Like, oh, that blog that I have and I remade, which you can all go visit at vossum.com. Maybe I should put something up on that this weekend, you know? Maybe I should finish up that case study I've been working on, get that out there so people know that I do logos and websites and things, stuff.
That'd be helpful.
But the thing is, the illustration blog update that I would do, like here's some other illustration work that I've done lately, would be so much quicker to write, but I don't want to have too many illustration updates, you know, in a row, and I don't want to have too many graphic design updates in a row. I want to kind of have a... You know, set up like a little bit of a rhythm there. You know, the rhythm method of self-promotion. It's all about timing.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, if we could ask. That's why I wish Steve was here today. Because he could tell us all about it.
We should have Steve on next time and just talk about self-promoting.
Yeah, I feel like he does that about every time he's here anyway. So I figure we're probably good. What have you been designing, man?
Well, what I'll be designing immediately after we're done here recording is I've got to, you know, client's got a webinar.
Okay.
Uploaded it to where, you know, the webinar is going to be, somehow it's in two recordings instead of one, and I have to figure out how to merge them back together because they're in some weird format.
I was going
to
say, I feel like you merge audio at least once other week.
This has video with it.
Oh.
And they're in a weird format, so I got to find the right plugins. It'll take longer than it should just to put them together.
You're only making $30 on it. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Okay, but you're doing that straight after the show, so you got a thing. You're working. That's good.
Right.
Let's see. Well, that's what we're designing. Ah, oh, geez. Sorry. Okay, here's my deal. It's like I taught intro graphic design stuff this morning, and I got up super early. Yesterday, I did all this grading to get ready because I'm at two different colleges now, and my new college university, let me call it, has way more students per class, so grading takes way longer. And
you don't do the stairway method where you just throw them off and the heavy ones, you know, get the best grade?
Yeah, the ones that hit the ground first. What?
Yeah, you know, that's how, you know, the old rumors of how they used to grade like papers. You just go to the top of the stairway and you throw them down, and the ones that fell the furthest were the heaviest, and you know, you just...
Oh, sure, because they're longer. Yeah.
Be A's and you just work your way back up.
Yeah, that's a mass versus velocity system. Right. I think that's pretty fair. It's tougher to do with digital files because depending on what kind of Mac they're on, you know, that Mac is going to hit the ground first if you're throwing it down a flight of stairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to have as much to do with the weight of the project anymore. Blew through a lot of new MacBook Airs that way, just flinging them. Those things, MacBook Airs, those new ones, they fly like Frisbees. It's amazing. But anyway, so I got up super early to wrap up that, head out, and get prepped for class. I did everything I needed to do to get prepped up except for have breakfast. So I was running on fumes all morning, and then I just had this huge lunch wrap, and now I'm foundering, and I want to do an awesome show, but super tired, and I kind of need to sneeze. What are we going to talk about today, Donovan?
Today, I think we're going to talk about billing.
That's right.
We
were going to talk about this last week, and then we're like, fuck it, let's just talk about that ridiculous Gap logo.
Hold on, I'm going to go throw up thinking about that Gap logo, and we'll be right back to talk about billing. So here's the trick.
You got it? We're going to sum this up.
You get the work, but to get the work, you have to give them a price. So how do you go? Now,
are we going to start there? I don't feel like that's billing. I feel like that's a whole other show.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Think we're talking about how to get mother effing paid.
Oh, so this is after the job's been decided.
Yeah. I feel
after
like the whole...
you've come up with an amount.
But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what we do. Next show, let's do pricing. A little bit reverse order here, but let's talk about getting paid, and then next show, let's do pricing.
Okay. Main key with billing, I think, is to let the client know when they're going to get the bill and when it should be paid.
Right. Now, that's one of those things you were pretty instrumental in helping me out with the learning a lot of this stuff up front. Tell me about the ways that you go about doing that, or if you found someone who does it better, which is different from you. Tell me about
that.
Okay,
I bill almost exclusively once a month.
Really? Really? Okay, we can talk about that.
Because I don't like to do it, because it's not a fun job. Set up the bills, send them out, and then you let the client know that, you know, we'll bill you at the end of the month. You'll get it in the first week of the month or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have 30 days to pay it. Now, if there's something weird where they need to pay you right away or they request a bill early, I'll send that.
Sure.
But otherwise... end of month, and if the project ends, and a lot of them are on project end, then even though the project ends, if it ends on like the 15th of the month, then I wait another 15 days before I bill it.
Wow. Well, okay.
How do you bill?
That is crazy talk to me. Now, although you and I run very different organizations here, I am much more a solo home / mobile office guy. I bill... like immediately. I usually, out of respect or to give the appearance that I got too much going on to immediately do this, we'll bill the day after a project closes. I'll send that invoice. But I bill that stuff. I bill that mess right away.
See, I deal with a lot of like business to business customers. And right. I think most of them bill, you know, they invoice out monthly or something. So it's just kind of like they just expect that to be normal.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've noticed, and maybe we can just go ahead and talk about that right now. It's like, you know, there is a difference. You can say to a client, and again, you're the one that kind of helped me out with a lot of this a couple years ago when I was getting my feet under me as a independent professional, was letting people know, okay, well, here's the bill, and here's when it's due. Kind of lost my train of thought during that sentence because now I was thinking about how crappy I was at business 3 years ago. But there are some clients that have their own payment schedules. You know, I've gone into a client and said, okay, well, you know, I usually ask for what's called net 15 terms, which is which is a business slang term to say your bill is due within 15 days of receiving it.
You'll see net 15, net 30 is common.
Yeah.
And I've seen net 45.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you walked me through a lot of that. So I was rolling in saying, yo, it's net 15, trying to sound all, getting businessed up. But I have also had clients just flat out say, well, that's great. We're net 45. So, essentially that's your client saying, I don't care when you want the money. Here's when I'm going to give it to you. Now let's say you're a designer. You don't got a lot of scratch coming in. Now, if you got money coming in hand over foot, maybe you just say, okay. There are also going to be situations where, maybe that's not as much of a situation where you can tolerate for whatever reason. What do you do in that situation?
Well, I mean, part of the reason the people that are paying net 45 when they say, or that they pay net 30, is because if you're dealing with more than a one-person shop,
okay,
they're going to hand your invoice off to the accounting department, and then mm-hmm. the accounting department's going to properly sit on it, or they have to send it off to their boss, who then has to sign off on it, who then sends it to the accounting party, who then cuts you a check. And a lot of times they only mail out checks once or twice a month.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've run into a lot is that there a lot of the corporations will like, oh, it's Tuesday, it's the day that we make checks. Oh, it's Tuesday afternoon, you missed it, you'll have to wait till next week. And that's fairly common. That's happened to me a bunch of times.
And a lot of times, they'll come through and sometimes you have to do the follow-up, which we'll cover next.
Yeah, we should talk about the follow-up.
But when you're dealing with these companies, if they have a procedure like that, you kind of have to work with them. I mean, they're the person you're working with, your client, they're not any happier than you are.
Right.
But they can't do anything about it. If they're a big enough company, they have a procedure they have to follow, and that procedure is going to happen, and that is why you're going to have to wait for the money. Now, the nice thing is the one company that we have that pays us net 45 pays us on day 45. So we can schedule when we will get the.
Payments. So you know exactly when that money's
coming. We also have set days of when it's in the contract of when we're supposed to bill them because they want to be picky about it. Normally it'd be like project completion, but they want to pay so they can schedule it properly.
Do you deal with that a lot? I know that I do not deal with it. I've always just had deposit and project completion. Which is
ongoing clients you may bill monthly if you're doing like a lot of maintenance work.
Oh, sometimes, do people have those? That'd be nice. I wouldn't mind an ongoing.
I'm not saying
client.
We have a lot of them, but every now and then you have one. And if you do work on a monthly basis for them, they expect a monthly check because they don't want to have you do 6 months of work and then get some check that's crazy amount.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, whoa, we know you did that work, but it's really hard for us to deal with cash flow all of a sudden paying.
Yeah, it's the same theory that eating an entire pie one slice at a time has less calories than eating an entire pie all at once completely.
I've heard that.
Yeah, same theory. All right. So one thing. Ongoing projects.
But telling the client up front when you're going to bill them and then delivering the bill around that time will help out on a lot of you actually getting paid.
Right. Yeah. A lot of that just comes back to just like setting expectations for your clients, right? I mean, you set expectations when you're, telling them what to expect on a layout or a logo design. You should set expectations with billing as well, right? Now, what do you do? Do we jump, Donovan? Yeah, let's because this is about getting paid. Now, if you're not having trouble getting paid at this point, this is where we say, thanks for listening to the Reflex Pluto.
Eventually,
see you in 2 weeks.
Right. But eventually, everyone, if you do this long enough, someone is going to eventually stiff you.
Yeah. Or at least, let's not start with getting stiffed. Let's start with, it's been a month and you got nothing.
It's best to have, even if you don't have to implement it, to have some sort of plan of how you want to deal with that thing.
Yeah.
And normally what happens is if you give them net 30, you can't ask them on the 30th day, hey, where's my money? Because we had one client, they paid us on the due date, and then it took a day for the mail to go out and another day for it to get here. So we knew when the due date was, I would get a check about 2 days later.
Yeah.
Sometimes something happens. I think it's very common. Wait, whatever you're comfortable with, 1 to 2 weeks, doing a little follow-up, sometimes resending the invoice with a second notice on it.
Can I say that I feel like 1 week is plenty enough time in the modern age? And again, depending on the cash flow of you know whoever the designer is, yo, we've been in this situation independently, individually, where yo, I need that check, dog. I did that work. It's been a month. I kind of need that check. But yes, well, one thing that you definitely don't want to do is find yourself in a position where you're calling your client day that it's due, 30th ass day. And we're not saying, one thing I'm definitely not saying is don't call your clients on the 15th day and say, where's my money, bitch? You don't, like, try not to make that call. But if it, even if it's been the 30 days, which I think is pretty understandable. If you're asking for net 30, you or even if you're asking for, like, a two-week payment, you could still give them a month. I think you can do that. But you don't want to call them that day. One day, one time, and I'll liken this to a vendor that I had at my first job, where, and again, people who listen to the show know at my first job, I was the lowest ass totem pole head on that totem pole, all right? But somehow or another, I got the phone call from this vendor, like a print vendor, who hadn't gotten paid yet. And it was the day, it was literally like the day it was due. It had been like 30 days. And on top of that, the amount that he was owed was like $50.
Ouch.
Which tells me a lot of things. Not the least of which is, yo, that guy must be really hard up for this $50. And that is a sad situation for him to be in. At the same time, I am like, really, dude? Are you really giving me the 30th day phone call for $50? Like, could you not just send a quick email about that and just say, hey, I just wanted to know what the status of this was? Did you have to call and say, I kind of really need to know where that payment is?
Yeah, I think the email can do fine.
Yeah. Well, it depends on your communicative relationship with your client, though, you know. If you're email friendly with them, send a quick email. Let me say,
we send almost all of our billing out via email now.
Oh, I totally send. I send all of my invoices email.
Now, every now and then.
It says invoice attached. And let's talk about this format real quick. If you're going to invoice email, you do not write a hey, how was your weekend email. You subject line that invoice attached. Attaches the invoice for this project. Please let me know if you have any questions. Signed.
And if you want to be nicer, you can say, like, you know, thanks for letting us help with this project.
Oh, sure.
And blah, 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 if you feel like it.
But you do not ask them about their family. The invoice email should be short and sweet and to the point.
I would agree.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so sorry. So,
But you have to remember, I mean, just like you do different design for every one of your clients, sometimes right. You got to bill them differently.
Right.
Sometimes you have the one that's billed net 45. Sometimes you got to copy two people in on the email because they want to see the copy of the invoice and they want whoever's going to pay it to get the copy of the invoice.
Sometimes you got to resend it to the client and send it directly to their billing department because maybe your client contacted and sent
bill to the billing department. We have one client that we deal with, but billing, never send it to her. Send it to someone else in the office.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want. That's fine.
And I would love a situation like that.
Because that person's
whole job is just to pay invoices.
We had a couple that they weren't necessarily paying.
Mm-hmm. Or just straight up weren't. We're not naming names.
They'd be like every few months rather than every month. Or
something. Oh, okay.
And you'd be like, well, what happened was they would skip the invoices because they weren't really in companies where they sat in front of their computer, so they didn't really pay attention to them. So in those things, would you prefer us to mail you a copy of the invoice? Yes. And so those ones are marked, and they actually go out via snail mail.
Yeah.
It's a very small percentage of the invoice we sent out. But hey, if it helps you get paid, you do it.
Right, exactly.
Not every client's going to pay the same.
Just about everything we have to say today. Hey, if it helps you get paid, do it.
I think that's basically how that works.
I was going to say, come up with something where that's not the case.
And just think of it like it's a design problem. Your client has custom needs. They're a different company. They're run differently. Sometimes a paper method is better for a few of those.
But let me also say on top of that, well, I kind of agree with your point. I think we should take a break here just after this, but I also want to say that I found it to be that consistency in your billing approach and in your billing practices is really key to your success. So if there's a few things that you want to custom tailor to your client and their needs, I think that that's great. But to be able to have, even if you're an independent, like solo person, like working from home, you're in your living room, You're doing your billing. You got your cat on your lap. You got your dog at your feet. Even if you're that small of an operation, some amount of consistency in how you bill, having a policy to point back to if questions come back, goes a really long way towards credibility and accountability. You know, if you have a if a client says, "Why are you sending me a second notice now?" with a big red second notice at the top of it, you can say, "Well, that's what we always do. That's what I that's my policy. If you know, if it's 40 days since the last invoice, or 45 days, or 30 days, or whatever, we send it out again, and it just happens automatically." And they say, "Okay, well, that's okay."
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, what to do when the second notice gets ignored?
Yeah.
Nate, listen. That's the sound your client's making when it comes to the second notice.
Where?
Yeah, you're hearing nothing.
What? Yeah, and raise your hand, yo, if that's happened to you. Kapow.
Sometimes the ideal situation, I'll lay this out, the ideal situation, a lot of times if you have a bigger client, first time you invoice, you have to send out that second notice. And then all of a sudden there's a little follow-up, the, oh, you're not in our records. And they'll send you the you know, the tax
forms. Oh, yeah, doing your tax forms.
Sometimes if you work with a company, it's best to say right up front, even before the bill comes out, hey, if I need to fill out any forms for taxes, let me know. And you get that up front so that when the bill comes to accounting and they don't see you in their system, they'll still, you know, they're not shocked by it.
Yeah, and it doesn't, because that will totally hold up a process.
And then all of a sudden, you're starting their net 30 process over again.
So I feel like
but that's just a side note. What we want to talk about is
that's your best case scenario.
What happens on the after the second notice? How long before you send the the third notice, or better known as the final
notice? Final notice. Yeah, you don't put third notice. You put final notice. You make it Helvetica. 24 to 36 point bold in red, red 21 or whatever. And
if you're sending them digitally, it blinks.
Yeah. Blink with a rotating GIF of a guitar on fire next to it.
Correct.
Definitely.
Playing the final countdown MIDI.
Okay. What to do when you're just not getting paid. Now, there's a couple different situations for this. One is the situation where, and I don't have a lot of experience with this, one is the situation where you do not expect to work with that client again, where it's a kind of a one-off job. The other situation is where it is an ongoing client relationship, which I feel like we should tackle first because it's the easy one. Donovan.
Okay.
Client hadn't paid you for old work, but they want to start doing new things.
I had an ongoing client I'd been working for a few years.
Yes.
All of a sudden, like three invoices, you know, one invoice went unpaid, so I billed them for the next month, which is, you know, if you're billing monthly on a net 30, it's common that your next invoice there before you get paid again.
Sure.
So then all of a sudden, you know, you do the second notice and you're like, oh, I've now been 2 months.
Yeah.
The first one
I haven't gotten a check yet. What's going on?
I got three invoices in. Because, you know, you have the one's now 60 days past. You've done the second notice. This is pretty easy. Just say, you know, I mean, this was an easy one to fix. Call up. Hey, I'd love to come in and work on this next project. But, you know, company policy is we got 60 days past due on an invoice. Be happy to stop by as soon as the check arrives.
Yeah, so there's two things that
check
you did
was at
there.
The office there the next day.
Yeah, very next day. There's two things that you did there that I want to call attention to. Number one is you made a phone call, which I think is important. I can't give to you the very next thing you're looking for unless I see some payment on my end. And again, and you know, if you're...
The goal is to always sound as professional as possible.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
You don't want to sound desperate.
You know what it is? It's that you mentioned our policy is to not continue work until we've seen payment. So again, you had a policy to fall back on.
They're a legitimate business that you normally work for.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see you as a legitimate business.
Right.
So you want to communicate in business talk.
Yep.
And it,
get that business
it's
slang.
Never rude, you know, normally.
Mm-hmm.
And most companies will respect that.
Yeah, I had a situation where It's slightly different. This is not that long ago.
A lot of times, rather than sending the final notice via PDF, that's where you do the phone calls, and you're like, "Hey, I just want to make sure that those invoices were received, and that, you know, we haven't gotten payment yet, and wanted to see if there's any issues with accounting or anything, or when we could expect the check."
Because let's be honest, by the time you put final invoice in Helvetica bold red at the top of your follow up, your third notice, like, the time for business polite is gone. You don't put final notice on something if you're being anything but a total dick about being paid. I think we can establish that. So the phone call before you call is super great. And, again, for at least keeping that relationship alive.
Now, if you're going to do that, a lot of times you can do the phone call, you know, pretty shortly after you send the second notice.
Right.
You can do a quick, you know, voice message.
Maybe give it a week just for the mail. Sure.
If you're sending them via email, you can even wait just a couple of days, because a lot of times you'll get an instant response that says, "Oh, hey, we're on it."
Yeah. But I'm going to give you pro tip, and I learned this from someone outside of the design field. Here's how you make that phone call, Donovan. I'm sure you've had to make it. Actually, you got a dude that will kind of make those calls for you.
Yeah, my business partner. You've got a business partner. Really good at making those calls.
For people who do not have a business partner to fall back on for the financial phone calls, I'm going to tell you right now, Reflex Blue Show listeners, how to do this. Pro tip: you call them up. You say, "Oh, hello. This is my name from design firm place that did work for you. I was calling just." Yeah, hi, how are you doing? I was just calling today to find out the status of the invoice that I sent you on such and such date. And then shut up. Now, don't say that last part. That last part is for you.
A lot of times you can say invoice number.
Give them the invoice number, that information, but ask them, "I am inquiring about the status of that invoice," and then shut your mouth. Because the longer you keep talking, the more excuses you are actually giving them to not pay it or to have not paid it already.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
If you just drop the question and shut up, they are confronted with the silence and the fact that they have not paid it. If you continue talking, it's not that long before you're like, "Oh, well, I understand. Oh, it was busy this month," or, "Oh, I understand that you didn't get, you know, this money in from this other job that you were doing, so it's difficult to pay her. Oh, okay, well, I kind of get what's happening." All of that keeps you from getting paid. If you shut up, they are confronted with the fact that they need to pay you and they have not. Most people, not everyone, but most people in the world, I give the benefit of the doubt to for being good people. Most people you work with want to pay you. And when they are confronted with the fact that they have not yet, and you don't give them any outs, chances are on that phone call, they're going to say, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I will totally pay you now." Yeah. And I got that exact advice, and that has worked for me every single time. That's your pro tip.
Now, once out of the calls my business partner makes, a lot of times you don't do an immediate follow-up, final notice, anything like that, because you got to give that little time.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll get about a third of the people will call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's even more than that. Or they'll send you an email and be like, and tell you what's going on. Like, "Oh, we'll get a check out this week." Maybe if it's one of those companies that only mails out checks on
Tuesday.
We'll
put that out in the week. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
You know, it'll be in the mail next Tuesday. Or sometimes you hear nothing. And then a week later, check's just in the mail. I don't know. There's a magical week number.
Yeah.
And it just appears there. And then the dreaded nothing.
Yeah.
That's the dreaded one, D.
Yeah.
Then you got to follow up with the final notice.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? Let's see. What do you do when you're not getting paid, but you also don't expect a continuing relationship with that client? Now, I've had that situation in the past. I will tell you from personal experience. You know what I did then, Donovan?
What's that?
I didn't get paid, and I just let it go. It was for $700. It was something just not a big deal, and I was a kid at the time. This was the first time I tried to go freelance, the time that didn't stick.
I don't still owe you $700, do I?
No, it was not you. No, it was a company downtown that I'm not even sure is in business anymore. Which at that point, yo, hey guys, you ain't getting paid. But yeah, that time it might have been four. I don't know. It was not that much money. But yo, I just didn't get paid. And that was what happened.
Okay.
What should someone do in that situation?
We'll cover that right after this break.
Let's do it.
All right, there are, you know, there is that, there's certain amounts and certain clients that you're just going to have to realize you're not getting paid. And
you just got to let it go.
You got stiffed.
Yeah.
A lot of times if you get, you know, if you get a down payment from them.
That's why, and I didn't get one back then.
You get a down, a lot of times the down payment is a better indication of if they're actually going to follow through with other payments.
Right. Right.
Because then there's money invested in already.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason you get the down payment, which we'll talk about pricing next
week. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about down payments for pricing.
But you do have to weigh the options because, you know, you can go court routes and such.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at what is going to be worth it.
Right.
And if it's a smaller amount.
Because there's court costs involved.
And I know that even $100 can be, certain times, you're like, you know, that's my gas payment. So I'm not saying that these are small amounts.
Right.
You know, but even some of the larger amounts, at a certain time, some of them are like, you know what, it's worth that much money never to talk to that client again.
Yeah, well, and I have been working with a friend on some other projects that has found themselves in a similar situation where it's like, am I willing to give up this money if I just never have to talk to this son of a bitch again? I found myself in a situation like that not that long ago, but the amount of money involved was, it was like, nope, I cannot give up that amount of money to never talk to that SOB again. It was beyond my, I can let this money, I can, you know, at that point you're kind of like, I will pay this $700 to never have to deal with this crap again. And yeah, you're right. Sometimes that's worth it because stuff goes crappy. Sometimes it's an amount of money that you need, that, you know, is a, let's just call it a substantial dollar amount. You know, you all know the difference between those jobs. You got your small jobs, you got your medium jobs, and then you got your substantial jobs.
If they're still talking to you, like if they're still answering their phone,
mm-hmm.
at least then you have options of the, okay, can we work on, this is the final project we did, can we work on payments?
Yeah.
And maybe you can at least start to get parts of it.
Consider it you're the electric company. And
I had a client that, I had a client that called me back like, hey, we need you to do this. And I was like, you know, you never paid the last invoice. And it was enough to where they're like, oh, oops.
Yeah.
And then they paid in installments over the next year.
We can't pay that huge amount right now. Yeah.
And over the next year, the money slowly got there.
So working out a payment plan is definitely an option.
Right.
What else you got?
There is the court option. I haven't taken it on a client, but I know it happens.
I want to call like a motherfucking bounty hunter. Like, I want to call Boba Fett in. Like, I want to do, I don't know. People say, I'm going to send you to collections. And I think collections is actually just like a different department at Visa or whatever when you hear people say that. Not that I hear people say that from Visa all the time. I'm not trying to put that out there.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
I want to get the biggest key is making sure that once they have one or two invoices that are passed, you have to let them know that, hey, I know cash is tight, but I won't work on more until mm-hmm. I get paid. Because the people I know get in the most trouble, or I've seen third hand.
Oh, God.
They've gotten in the most trouble.
Second hand, yeah.
You start to think, you're like, maybe after 3 or 4 months, you should have not been doing any more work for that client.
We both know people that have done that. Yeah, absolutely. They might be the same people.
So the key is not getting that into a project.
Shouldn't you, at a certain point, have realized they are not going to pay you? Stop doing work for them. But that still kind of falls into the ongoing relationship thing. Seriously, I just want like motorcycle bounty hunter, you know, Terminator 2 looking guy rolling up and saying, "You owe this guy $400." Smashing him up against the wall, pay it. I think we all want that to happen sometimes when we don't get paid. But anyway, that's why we do the that's why we do down payments and that kind of thing. Hey, we got a quick user question here.
Okay,
I put it out on Twitter directly before we recorded.
So got it.
I said, you know, it was like, get your questions in right now, or that's all we got. Got one in from our boy Prescott Perez Fox, you know, big ups to Prescott, who says, simply not getting paid, always topical. Also, the forms and hassle, Donovan, of working with institutions like universities or non-professionals.
Oh, I think he says non. I think that's non-profit, isn't it?
No, non-profit. That's non-prof. Come on, dude.
That's mainly, you have to realize at this point, the hassle is your client isn't actually the one paying you. It's your client's boss's accounting people that are paying you.
True.
And they have procedures. And the key there is getting an upfront. We had a big client. The company they were in was big. It was just a smaller part of them.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like, okay, do we need to fill out tax forms, anything like that? Can we get that rolling so we're in the system when we send you the invoice?
You know what I feel like you're doing there is not setting expectations for your client. I feel like there you're setting expectations for yourself. Like, okay, it's this kind of company. I ought not expect immediate payments.
No, and that one I was trying to get that done up front.
Yeah.
And it did help. That one actually paid us. Then when we did that up front, they paid us on time. When we didn't do it for the client that was similar before that, then 60
yeah,
days
so you
in,
learned your lesson. Yeah,
you know, second notice comes and it's like, oh shit. Okay, I'll go down to accounting, and then the client has to go down to accounting then, and they're all like, oh, I can't believe we didn't get paid. And then they're like, oh, now I didn't have you fill out a form.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
For people, the last thing I want to talk about billing before we head out to the last things we're going to talk about today. People who follow me on Twitter, it's at Vossome, V-O-S-S-O-M-E. That's me. And would know that not that long ago, I did my first experiment with invoicing via PayPal. Kind of trepidatious about, a little uneasy about it going in. I put the call out there, said, okay, have other people done this? And some people said, yes, I did it. I had a great experience. Some people said, yes, I did it, and it kind of sucked. Some other people said, yeah, you could do that, but it's really just about them getting points on their credit cards or miles or something. And to that point, I don't care. If Visa's paying me, I'm still getting paid. But I'll tell you what, here's the upside of that. The other day, I finished that project. My invoice to payment cycle was 20 minutes.
It's not bad.
I invoiced, had money in my account, 20 minutes.
You know,
fucking blew my mind.
You know what helps you out? What helped you on that one?
Being
as open as possible to letting them pay you in whatever form of cash they want to pay you in.
Yeah. That was the first client that ever paid via credit card either. But again, if
your client says, hey,
that's Visa paying me, I'm fine.
We pay with
Visa's
socks
money.
Of nickels.
Yeah.
You just say, this is where you drop off your sock of nickels.
Yeah, exactly.
And you figure out later how to get it to the bank.
I will pick a wheelbarrow of socks of nickels.
Right.
Or a bucket.
I have seen it. It's somewhat common that people, you know, I'll charge you 3% more if you want to pay via PayPal.
Well, that's the thing. And I forgot to do that because there are fees involved. But you're totally allowed.
I consider the getting paid within the day worth 3%.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, dude, 20
also,
minutes.
Also, by the way, the client.
20 minutes.
The client that we had that's net 45.
Yeah.
In the statement of how they bill, and it's in the contract that if they pay within 10 days, they get 2% off.
Nice.
Now, of course, they always pay on day 45.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter. But if they want to pay me in 10 days, that's worth 2% to me.
Jeez, only two? They should say 10. Like, man, if we're really on our game, you best give us a discount. All right, Donovan, great topic. High five.
All right.
Let's talk about what's happening, what's update. What's happening in the world, Donovan?
AIG Nebraska show, November 5th. Swing on by the Mastercraft building.
If you're around, I guess that's cool.
I guess you should. We'll be there.
I will be there. I'm very excited about being there. I didn't enter anything for the first time in Donovan Berry 10 years.
Whoa.
I didn't. That's how that. It was 10 years ago when I entered my first show. This is the first one I haven't entered anything into. Got to a point where I was like, I don't feel like I need that this year. Also, I have kind of a limited budget for that. You know why? Because I want to enter the HAL logo and HAL poster design awards, which are due Monday. So if you...
Probably...
Well, no, I think
this show is going up Monday or Tuesday, so it might be yesterday.
Right. Yeah, depending on when this show goes up. So
but there will be one in 2011.
By the way,
they're doing these yearly.
I want to throw this out. I'm pulling this list this week only directly from Jeff Fisher's Logomotives Twitter, want to say big what up to Jeff Fisher out there. We got the Prince Creativity and Commerce Competition, which is also ending November 1st. Jeez, those guys are...
Yeah, let's talk about more of stuff that, like, is already past due.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We got, well, let's say if you're into it, if you're Charles Anderson or Drew Davies, I'm not inviting comparisons there, but I'm just saying those are the only two people that I know that enter the One Club due November 12th. Let's see what else we got here, Dom. You entered in the One Club this year?
I think I was going to enter one like a year ago, and I got to that point where it said the entry fee was $250, and I just kind of hit back and then didn't enter.
Yep, just kind of hit Command W and moved on with your life. Let's see, we got one show also doing interactive awards. Print and How Magazine have a color and design competition due November 16th. And that'll probably let's just maybe cover it through there because Graphic Design USA is doing package right. awards.
And but, if GD anyone USA out there is listening has like numbers of bounty hunters, just post them on the at 36point.com in the comments feed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you have any competitions or entry things that you want us to cover, just go ahead and send them over to us at 36point.com. Last, what's happening? What's update, Donovan? I just want to throw this out to you. Apple Computers.
Yes,
Steve Jobs on a earnings call.
Okay,
threw it out to the world that he has not he, Apple has $51 billion in the bank, not like market valuation.
So if they're
just sitting in the bank,
so if they're late on paying you, don't buy that. Oh, we're having some financial issues.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh money's really tight right now. No, $51 billion in the bank. Steve Jobs said something to the effect of some strategic acquisitions might be presenting themselves to us. We might be taking a look at some things like that. Sony, for some unknown reason, and I think that this is utterly ridiculous, is at the top of the list of companies that Apple might just roll up and buy. And if you got $51 billion, you can buy a company. I think that the Sony rumor is ridiculous. There's another rumor, Donovan Berry. Similar, they're just kind of like listing out here saying, oh, if I was Apple, here are the people we'd buy. Adobe.
Would they pay
shutting down Flash.
Yeah.
Killing it.
We're going to buy you just to shut down Flash and then sell you to somebody else.
Actually,
and not let you do Flash
that's
anymore.
That's pretty good Steve Jobs. I'm not going to lie. I think that that would be bananas. I don't think that it would happen. I think that the other one was like they might
buy. I thought Microsoft was going to buy Adobe. That was the other rumor around it.
Yeah. I mean, Adobe ain't that big. I mean, Adobe could get bought and it wouldn't be that big a deal. The other one that was floating out there was like Netflix. That would make sense to me. But just pining, just in the back of my mind that even the possibility of Apple purchasing Adobe. One last thing I want to talk about. I know we're trying to get out of here
now. But so like if we send them a $52 billion invoice, then you can buy that excuse of oh we don't have the money to pay you.
Yeah, we're
but $51 billion. You're like no, you just said you had the money.
You got the money. Yeah, we know you got the cash. The other thing that I'm really
never
excited
done
about,
a $52 billion project.
The other thing I'm really excited about. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
No, I've also never done a $52 billion project. They're introducing an app store for straight up Macs. And it's going to be apps like Pages. It's going to be apps like Word. It's going to be like straight-up programs. Now they're just calling them apps. It's going to be a full-blown, essentially like an iTunes store for applications on your Mac. This is coming before the next software update. But what it would be was, you know how you have apps on your phone? It
right.
says, oh, it's time to update this one, or there's a new version out, and it lets you know, and it manages all of that. It would manage... Let's say, for instance, Photoshop that way. If Photoshop was sold through this Apple App Store and you bought it through that. Wrap your mind around that for a second.
Okay.
I think that that would be pretty fucking cool. That's all I'm going to say.
Maybe.
I think that that would be pretty sweet. The other thing, the thing that I just remembered I want to say about if Apple did buy Adobe, I think it would be great for the graphic design industry, and here's why. Because... If that means that Adobe isn't on PC anymore, which would be ridiculous, some other company would have to come along to make a competing product in all of those categories.
Oh, I
to compete
think,
with
I
Illustrator,
think,
to compete with Photoshop, to compete with InDesign.
They have like iTunes on Mac and PC.
Well, they do, but all I'm saying is that it would open the door for a new innovator product to come out there. Because let's face it.
Corel is making a comeback, everyone.
Oh, shit. Here comes Corel coming back with Draw. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if Draw suddenly overtook Illustrator?
I think GIMP might overtake Photoshop.
Dude, I think GIMP ain't going to take over Photoshop. That's crazy. Crazy stuff. That's bananas. You've been hanging out with Rob again. Donovan, how about you say we get out of here? Right, how about we close down this show?
Yeah, let's take off.
I feel like I did not expect us at all to get a 45-minute show out of this, but sure enough, we did. Rocket, thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show.
See you in a couple weeks.
I'm Nate Voss. That's Donovan Berry. Peace out.
Peace.